one. Everybody have one. Oh, outlines over here. Get your hands up. Make sure we get one. Dinah, can you grab some? Good, thank you. Anybody else need an outline and a prayer thing? Every week I'm going to hand out a prayer sheet so you can take it home and pray, okay? But anyway, thank you guys for your giving, your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. But you notice we have an overhead. We did. Oh, there it is. Woo! I want to say this. Last week, Chad, I'm not recording, am I? Hope not. Am I? Oh, my God, scary. All right, I'll skip that part. But I just felt it was a great attack last week. The overhead never worked, and I couldn't even talk. It was one of the messages I really wanted to get out, but hopefully I got it out, and it did something. Yeah. But anyway, I knew that, and so I told Chad. I said Chad was going to stop by a couple nights ago, and I said, check on this thing. But we had to reset the breaker and do a hard start on it, and all of a sudden it came on. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the first time it ever did that in years that I know of. But anyway, praise God, the Lord is still God. Amen. He's still God. So anyway, I really felt like that was a very message that people needed to hear. And I'm sorry that a lot of people were gone. But anyway, they can still get the CD. And they can even streamline it. We're live right now streamlining. Hi, everybody out there. It's good to have you with us. Also, you can get on there and you can download the streamline of any message. So, but everybody got an outline. All right, let's get into this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this time with you. Holy Spirit, we depend upon you for everything we say, everything we do. And so we just welcome you. And even during this message, Holy Spirit, I ask you just to keep ministering to your people. Minister deep inside of their hearts. Release those things, Lord, that have may been captive for a long time. Just release it. And let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength today, Lord. Let it be your joy. And we thank you. That's not what the world gives, but it's your joy that you give. Something that's supernatural, deep from you. And so today, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for everything that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about God-given purpose and direction. How many ever felt that you wonder what God had for your life? Anybody ever think about that? How many still kind of think that, Lord, what's your direction for my life? What's your purpose for my life? Well, I know one purpose that it is for every one of us is that you're here. That's God ordered your steps to be here. You're here, and the purpose that we're here is greater than what we could ever dream or imagine. And sometimes we miss that direction, but I want to talk about how to listen to the Spirit and to listen to what God wants to do in your life and where he wants to take you. I'm not talking about that God's going to all of a sudden uproot you and take you to some other foreign land. You know, it'd be nice if he did, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that you're just obedient to hear the voice of the Lord. Getting rid of the noise in the channel. There's so much noise out there right now in the world we live in. Everybody wants a piece of your attention. Everybody wants to just pull you from every direction. And you've got to learn to back off and just say, Lord, what do you want? What is your purpose and direction for my life? We know that his purpose and direction is to serve him. We know that. We know it's to be born again, filled with the Spirit, and to serve him. But there's something that we need to really look at and say, Lord, what is your purpose for my life? Man, I had a purpose ever since before I knew God. I knew in my spirit that God wanted me to do something different. I remember many times that being raised a Roman Catholic boy, And people ask me, what are you going to do when you get older? I'm going to be a preacher. And I'm thinking, what did I say that for? Preacher. How can I be a preacher? And it kept coming up out of my spirit. And so I knew it was direction and it was purpose in my life. But how many know things don't happen overnight? How many know there's a road to walk sometimes and it's like, when am I ever going to get to that place? But let's look at this. Isaiah 30:21 says this. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Holy Spirit, help us to hear that still small voice. That when we start getting off the path, you put us back on the path. Amen? Help us to do that. Write this down. Everything in our lives revolves around purpose. Everything in our lives revolves around purpose. It says, I like that. Refuse to go through life without direction. Find your God-given purpose and operate in it. It is one of the most important aspects to life itself. Many people, even Christians, sometimes are rendered ineffective because they're functioning outside of their purpose. There's people that are functioning outside of their purpose, and they need to find the purpose of God in their life. Our purpose isn't just to punch a clock and exist. There's more to purpose in life than that. God has given you that purpose. So let's look at Proverbs 19:21. I like this. It says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Wow. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The Passion says this, a person may have many ideas concerning God's plan for his life, but only the designs of his purpose will succeed in the end. So there's times in our lives that we have our own will and our own way, and we plan out what we're going to do. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with planning out going to school or going to college or going somewhere. This is not what I'm talking about. There's doors that God wants us to learn to go and to work that direction, because I believe that if you're listening to the voice of the Lord, God will lead you in that direction. So I'm talking about. But I'm talking about in areas of our lives where we begin to plan our own future in our own route without discussing it with the Lord. And I have found that when we do things our way and we don't do things God's way, we miss out on the greatest blessings. I'm telling you, we'll miss God. And that's what we don't want to do. We want to be in what God is doing, not what I'm doing. But Lord, what are you doing? I want to get in on that. But I don't want to be doing what I want to do. So we begin to see that in Proverbs, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that always stands. So God's will and plan and purpose for your life will always stand, no matter what. Now, there's people that will refuse to do what God tells them to do. And the Lord will let them go. He still loves them. He'll let them go. But they're going to miss out on some of the greatest blessings, I believe, that are there for their life. Is God going to be mad at them? No. But the thing is, if they go their way, they're going to miss out on some great rewards. And God has some great rewards for us if we'll just be obedient to that. And the purposes and designs of God succeed in the end. It's God's plan and purpose. So what is purpose? Let's look at this. One definition is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. Does that make sense? It's a reason for which something is done or created or which something exists. See, God had a plan and purpose for your life. And we'll talk about that, but let me give you the first point. God the Father had a purpose. What was his purpose? Jesus. That was his purpose. God the Father had a purpose. Why? Because he wanted to love you. He wanted fellowship with you. He wanted to spend eternity with you. He wanted to create somebody that would go after his heart and understand how much he could love back to his people. So we see here in Isaiah 42:6, I, the Lord, have called you, the Messiah, for a righteous purpose and in righteousness. So he's talking about what he wants to do with his son. I will take you by the hand and will keep you. I will give you for a covenant to the people of Israel, for a light to the nations. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. So we see that God's plan and purpose was to send Jesus even before the foundation of the world. Now, why doesn't God just do it the way I want him to do it? Have you ever thought of that? Well, God, if you knew man was going to sin and fail you, why'd you create him? Why don't you create somebody perfect that won't mess up or do anything wrong? Why didn't you just start over? You're God. I mean, you created the universe, the heavens, and you created everything. Why? Because God did not want to create somebody that they had to worship him, but he wanted to create somebody because they wanted to worship him out of free will. He already had the angels. The angels were made to do it and bid everything that God had told them to do. Everything. But he wanted fellowship with a people that would love him because of who he was and because of what he wanted to give back to them. If he wanted another robot, he'd have created more angels. That's not what he wanted. He wanted a love relationship between you and I that he could have for eternity. Think about this, eternity. That you and I will have that love relationship with the Father because of it. Write this down. Jesus had his own purpose. What was the purpose of Jesus? 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you know that God sent Jesus because of sin in the world and all these different things? That God knew that man was going to fall. He knew that man was going to make the wrong decision. He knew Adam was going to pick the wrong tree. Adam, you can have all the trees in the garden. Leave that one alone. Isn't it like human nature? We want what we can't have. A little child, you tell a child, no, you can't have that. What do they do? First thing they do is go to that thing. When you're not looking and dig in there, grab a handful of cookies. I know because I'm talking about myself. And you've done the same thing. But the thing is, you tell them not to do it, and they do it. So Adam and Eve, God says, you can have all the trees. They could have every tree in the garden they could have from. And he said, don't touch that tree. Now, do you think God didn't know that Adam and Eve weren't going to be tempted? Go, gee, I wonder, that fruit looks better than the other fruit, you know? And all of a sudden, the enemy comes along and says, well, why not? And begins to tempt them, and pretty soon you give in, and they eat of the tree of good and evil. So God knew before the world that he would have to have another plan for mankind. He did it, and he gave man a choice because he wanted them to choose, not because they were created to choose, but because they wanted to choose rightly. Does that make sense? The choice would be theirs, not because he made them do it. So Jesus had his own purpose. For this purpose, he came to destroy the works of the devil. What's the works of the devil? Welcome to the world. Sickness, disease, poverty, all these different things that we face, all the things that are happening in the world. And then Jesus came to destroy what the devil had taken death and life and taken it away from mankind. And Jesus went and got it back for us and destroyed the works of the devil. And he triumphed greatly over it. The next one, write this down. We have a purpose. God planned and destined us for a purpose way before the world began. That's hard for my mind to imagine. That God thought of you, Bill, before the foundation of the world. He knew, Tammy, he knew that before the foundation of the world, that you would be here and that you would be doing what you're doing. Every one of us in this place, God knew before the foundation of the world, he had your life all planned out. He had your direction and your destiny. That's hard to fathom. Do you think God just made it up all of a sudden when you came along at birth? No. Before the foundation of the world. Look at this. Paul is so good at Ephesians right here. He says, even as in his love, he chose us, actually picked us out for himself, as his own, in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now listen, that's not a eternal security message there. It's not once only thing. But God's talking about mankind, that whosoever will have been handpicked by him because of Jesus. What an honor. What an honor. Now, I want you to see something. Even in his love, he chose us, actually picked himself for himself in his own, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above what? Reproach, before him in love. So God's purpose already was that you would have no stain on your life. Verse 5. For he foreordained. So he already had it in his mind what he was going to do way before the foundation of the world. Our minds can't fathom that because we're not God. For he foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted. How many are glad you adopted in his family? Thank you, Jesus. Revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of his will. Because it pleased him and was his kind intent. That means that God loved you and I so much before the foundation of the world that he wanted to give you a plan and a purpose and a destiny in his son Jesus. A lot of people will never get in on the plan of God or the destiny of God, or they'll serve God. But that's why we pray that they'll find Christ and get in on what was planned and destined for their life before the foundation of the world. So that means God has great things for you and I if we'll just say, yes, Lord. Whatever you have, Lord. Whatever you have. I want to do what God is calling me to do. I want to be what God has called me to be. And every one of us, that's in our heart to be pleasing to the Lord of what God wants in our lives. But there are people that are missing out on the greatest plan and destiny for their life. Lord, help us to fulfill our destinies of what you planned before the foundation of the world. Who would have ever thought? Bill, I'm picking on you. Because you were a heathen too. But who would have thought before the foundation of the world that you would get saved at a blessing of the bikers and still be here after all these years? Who would have thought that each and every one of us, that we would be here today because somebody told us about the love of God. And we're here. That's a part of his plan and purpose and destiny. Amen? That's a part of his plan, purpose, and destiny to love you, to show how much God cares about you, that he wants to bless you beyond what you want to be blessed. He wants to take care of you. He wants you to understand that, but our minds are so finite that we feel we're not worthy to have anything from God. We feel that we don't match up. We just don't do it right. And so therefore, God, why would you want to bless me? Because he set it up before the foundation of the world that you would be without reproach, without stain, without anything because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed you when you made him Lord of your life. In every day when we mess up, we have an advocate, we have a mediator between God and man. His name is Jesus, and I can go to him and say, Lord, I screwed up, I messed up, forgive me. And it's like it never happened. That's God's plan and purpose for our life. Another thing is, what are we created to do? What has God created us to do? God is a God of divine purpose and a divine direction. He has a purpose and a direction. Direction is a course along with someone or something moves. God has a course in mind for his children. Every person on the planet, even the Muslims, even the Buddhists, even all these different nationalities, the Gentiles, God has a plan and purpose for their life. Do you know there's more Muslims coming to Jesus Christ now than any time in history? You don't see that on CBS, whatever. You don't see it on NBC. They're not on there telling you, oh, do you know how many Muslims got saved? Right now, there's an evangelist, Todd Bentley. 360,000 people came to Jesus in Pakistan. 360,000. But you don't hear about that on the news. But God is moving. Things are happening. Because those people want his destiny, not some other destiny. They want his direction, not some other direction. In other words, write this down. We have a divine path that was charted out specifically for us by God. Let me give you an illustration. I've given this before. When I graduated from high school, my dad wanted me to be a dentist, optometrist. He wanted me to make money. Nothing wrong with money. Money's not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. God wants you to make money so you can be a blessing in the earth and into the kingdom. You can't support the kingdom broke. You can't support the kingdom and missionaries and build this, build that broke. So we'll leave that alone. Okay? So God had a plan and purpose for my life. And you know what God does? He begins to put inside of each and every one of us something that's beyond us, pulling us in a direction that we don't know, but it's only God. And all of a sudden, you start to feel, this is what I need to do. Now, contrary, everybody out there, family members and everybody else says, oh, no, I don't think you should do that. I think you need to do this, this, and this, and this. But God had spoken to my heart, but my dad wanted me to go a different direction. And so I started listening to people. All of a sudden, I decided, okay, I'm going to go in the Navy. So I filled out my paperwork and filled out this, filled out that, and I was going to go into the Navy. God slammed that door shut. I mean, slammed it shut. Then I thought, okay, I'm going to go and be into the trades. Nothing wrong with any of that. I'm going to go and I'm going to go to Wahpeton, North Dakota, and I'm going to go into air conditioning and refrigeration and make some money. No, God slammed that door. Then God says, I want you to go to a Bible college. So when I told my father I wanted to go to Bible college, he got so mad he threw all the papers. He said, I'm not paying for anything. Do you know he would have paid for any college I wanted to go to for 4 years, 7 years. He'd have paid for the whole thing. But God says, this is the direction I want you to go. Don't stray off the path, but stay in that direction. Is it easy? No. Is it easy for any of us to go a different direction than what everybody else tells you to do? Yeah. The enemy's going to come against that grain. He's going to fight you. He's going to deter you. When I made the decision to go to a Bible college, I didn't have a dime in my pocket, but I went. in obedience. And I said, okay, Lord, if that's you, I'm even questioning God, then you're going to have to find a way for me to go to Bible college because you can't go to school without money. In 4 years, it's all been paid for. God took care of it. But what if I would have said, all right, Lord, I'm going to be a doctor, or I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be nothing wrong with it. I pray that God will put a lot of Christians into those fields, and they do that because they can reach people and touch people's lives in every area. But what if I would have did that and said, okay, and in my heart, I knew God's plan and purpose was to go to Bible college and from there do what he wanted me to do. What would have happened? I would have never met you. I would have never been in your life. I would never had a chance to preach the gospel and people to hear and come to Christ. I would have been in a total different realm. Now, would God, would I still go to heaven? Sure, I'd go to heaven. God still love me? You bet he'd love me. Love me. Hey, son, if that's what you want to do. But you're going to miss out on the greatest blessing I have for you. So no matter how tough it seems sometimes, and no matter when you have to say no, and you have to say yes, and the enemy is staring you eyeball to eyeball and saying, you don't want to do that. That's when you really got to ask God for the courage to say, Satan, get behind me. And do what God called you to do. Ephesians 2:10. Let's look at this. Did I read that? Did you write that down? We have a divine path. Okay, Ephesians 2:10. Let's look at this. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. Turn to somebody and say, God created good stuff. Amber says, you better say it. God created good stuff. We're good stuff, amen? For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. Oh, we're going to get into the word planned. Plan beforehand for us taking what? Oh, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life. See, when I said, yes, Lord, I started the good life. Now, it didn't always... You know, you go through tough times in your life. You have trials and temptations and tests, but it's still a good life. It's better than the life I had. I wouldn't trade this life for anything the past gave me or offered me. No way. There's nothing in the world that compares to the good life of God. That we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Isn't that awesome? Though God had you in mind and he already had you planned out to do and to be obedient to what he tells you to do. If God called me to the mission field tomorrow, I better make sure it's God. Would I go? Yeah, I'd go. I'd say, yes, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. It's just being obedient to what the Spirit wants you to do. The more we come to know our purpose, people, and the one who purposed us, the more we're able to understand our path and to change it if we need to change it. There's some things I had to change. I got off the path a little bit. I decided I was going to do my own thing. I told the Lord this. I said, now, Lord, listen to what I got to say. I can just see our loving Heavenly Father looking at me like, all right, I want to go ahead because it ain't going to fly. But anyway, I'll let you talk. I said, Father, I'll make a deal with you. You make me rich. I did. I told God. You make me wealthy and rich. Then I will take care of your business. Now, there's people that have prayed that, and God has held them to their word, and he has blessed them. I know a guy from Bible college that prayed and asked God that if you make me wealthy, I'll take care of your kingdom and I'll build churches. He didn't have a dime. He became a millionaire. Actually became a millionaire. Had his own company. He was in the cement and building churches. And all of a sudden, God just started blessing him. And he started building churches. He started taking money and helping people go through Bible college. I remember when he came. He was at school at the same time I was. And he came and he said, I've got money here for people like to give to help somebody that couldn't get through school. And he'd give them that gift to help them go through school. He did what he was supposed to do, and he was obedient because God held him to it. See? But I remember telling the Lord, say, okay, Lord, I'll do my own business and leave the preaching to somebody else. Just leave it alone, and I'll do this. Yeah, right. That didn't work. Even when I tried it, it didn't work. So I said, okay, Lord, what do you want for me to do? So the more we come to know his purpose and the one who purposed us, the more we're able to understand our path and change it if necessary. Listen, God does not want us ignorant of the direction that we should be walking in. He's saying to us, this is the way you walk in it. When you turn to the right or you turn to the left, this is the way. Write this down. The Holy Spirit even has a purpose, and that is to guide our every footstep and to lead us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalms 23:3 talks about the great shepherd. But even the Holy Spirit leads and directs us every day. Do you have that down, people? Did I miss something? Okay. All right. Psalms 23:3. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of what? Righteousness. Uprightness and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Not because I deserve it, but because God loved me. See, God wants to be author and finisher of your faith. That's what God wants. God wants to be the source of all knowledge, insight, and direction in your life. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Sometimes people, when we don't understand why and where or what we're going through, that's when you really need to pray and say, Lord, help me to lean on your understanding. Because my understanding sometimes gets to be my own plans and purposes. But sometimes you got to pray and say, Lord, help me not to lean, but direct and make plain my paths. Look at verse 6. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he shall direct and make straight and plain your paths. When you get off course, go to the Lord. Say, Lord, get me back on. Get me back on. What do you want me to do? There was a time in my life before I came here, people, I didn't know if I would ever go back into ministry. I felt like I had failed and I wasn't ready for anything. And I said, Lord, I worked for a company. I learned a lot. I worked for years for a company. Had my own business. And there was nothing wrong with that. God allowed that for a season in my life. But that wasn't his plan and purpose and direction. But I stayed with it. And I thought I would stay in it. And I told the Lord, I said, you have other people to do this. I just feel like I'm not ready for any of this. Well, when you get to the place that all of a sudden the bed becomes concrete and you're not happy in what you're doing anymore, that is a sign in my life that I needed to do what God said to do. See, all the things I thought I was happy about all of a sudden started dissipating. And then I finally said to the Lord, that's when Kenny and I tried to buy a house in Denver, Colorado. Who wants to leave Denver? Who wants to leave snow skiing and the mountains and hunting elk and all that stuff? Not me. But God had a different plan and purpose. So every time we'd buy a house, God'd say, no. He'd close the door. So I thought, well, that might have been something else. I'm not listening very well. So we went and tried to get another house, and God said no. And then the third time, he said no. And finally, I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the door opened for me to come to Ovid, Michigan, through a guy that I didn't even know where he lived, Bruce Wells. He was here before. And the Lord said, I want you to call Bruce. I said, Lord, I don't even know where he lives. The Lord dropped the name of the town in my heart, in Indiana. And so I thought, okay, I'll look it up. Found him in the book. Bruce, called him up. Bruce, yeah. Hey, this is Saudi, how you doing? I'm doing good. Bruce used to even work with me when I had my own company. I'd take care of him while he was off the road evangelizing. He said, what's happening? I said, not much. And I said, Bruce, do you know any churches that are open that are looking for a pastor? I said, the Lord won't let me have a church in Colorado. He won't let me have that one up at Estes Park or the one in the mountains. And, you know, I started telling him all this. He goes, must be God speaking to you. He said, I know a church. He said, there's a church in Ovid, Michigan. I said, what's an Ovid? I got my map out, A, number 6. I looked all over that map. I couldn't find Ovid. Let's try this again. A, B or something. And I'm there it is, right there, Ovid, north of Lansing. I said, Lord, do you want me to go to Ovid? Yeah, I want you to go to Ovid. All right. Best decision ever made. It is. Thank you, Lord. I know I'm in the perfect center of God's will. Sometimes I want to squirm out, like all of us do. But I know that this was God's destiny for me. It wasn't Colorado. It was to do what he said do. Why? We don't know. We don't always understand it. That's why we don't lean on our own understanding. But with all our ways, we acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. All right, Lord, direct my path. As the Apostle Paul declared, in you I live and move and have my being. That's what Paul said. The Lord orders the steps of the righteous. Begin to declare that God ordains your steps, people, every day. God, you ordain my steps. Write this down. We were created for the purpose of worshiping and pleasing God with every fiber of our being. Revelation 15:4. We're closing a few minutes here. For you alone are holy, and all nations will come and bow in worship before you as your blessings have revealed. The greatest plan and purpose is to love God and God to love us. That's the first and greatest plan. See, once we get the plan of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're already on the road to purpose and destiny in Jesus. Amen? Once I got saved, then I just needed to lean on the Lord to say, well, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? I don't know what to do. Sometimes it can be tough trying to ask God, especially when you're in a fivefold ministry. There's thousands and ten thousands of churches out there you can pick. But here's the thing. You got to listen to that voice in here that says, nope, 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 yes. Oh. No matter what it is, it can be a job. Nope, 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 yes. we use jobs as stepping stones to more success or what we're doing. That's okay. But the thing is, God's greater plan and purpose is still higher than our way of thinking. Look at Proverbs 4:18. But the lovers of God walk on the highway of light. Eye and their way shines brighter and brighter until they bring forth a perfect day. Lord, make my path brighter and brighter so I can see where I'm going. We need to walk in divine purpose. We need to operate with supernatural direction and insight in matters of our families, in matters of our ministries, in matters of even finances. Well, I tried to tell God, you know, God, make me rich, make me a millionaire, and I'll build this, build that. And I would have. I really would have, because that's the way I am. But that wasn't his plan and purpose for my life. I pray it's yours. I do. I pray that God will bless you, help you be blessed, and make more money than you could dream of. Well, Pastor, don't say that. I'm going to say it, because why should the devil have all the good money? God's people should be the ones that have it so that they can build his kingdom. It's about building the kingdom. And when you build his kingdom, he'll take care of everything else in your business. Scriptural. So we need to walk in these areas, in family. Lord, direction. There's times that I miss the direction of God. Do you know Candy and I moved 19 times before I moved here? This is the longest I've ever been in one place. 19 times. Shame on me. God's looking at me and tapping me on. He said, getting it? Did you get it yet?
I think so.
That's a part of the whole process. You're going to fail. But get back up and keep going on what you feel God has called you to do. Amen? It's okay. Candy is in here right now. She goes, yeah. 19 times. Well, honey, I think we should go here. I go to Bible college. I left Bible college. What did I do? I went to San Francisco and worked in the streets of San Francisco because I felt that's the direction. No, let me change that. I went to Teen Challenge in Denver, Colorado, just got married. I went there and spent a year, learned a lot. God told me to stay in college. Don't you go. Well, Lord, I got to win the world for you. I went. A year later, I was back in school. Got to school. Then I told God, I said, guess what, God? I'm going with a bunch of preachers. We're going to San Francisco. We're going to win San Francisco to you. Five of his preachers loaded their families. Candy goes, I don't think we're supposed to go. Logical me says, you know, honey, you don't know what you're talking about. And I did what I wanted to do, and I paid for it. I should have listened to her. So I left San Francisco after so much of a time, everything fell apart. And I moved to Minneapolis. My sister lived there. See, you see where I'm going on this? I'm not listening to what God's telling me. Candy goes, honey, I think we need to do this. No, I think we should do this. Oh, she's so obedient. She just let me do it anyway and hang myself. All right. So I went to Minneapolis and about starved to death. And I'm in a blizzard there, freezing. My car wouldn't start for a week. I'm living in this apartment trying to make ends meet. I don't have enough money to pay the rent. So I'm painting laundry rooms on each floor, two in each floor, through this whole complex to pay my rent. I don't have food. If it wasn't for my sister, Debbie, keeping us alive, I've got two tiny kids, Caleb and Amanda, and I thought, this is not God. You think, Denozo? So I leave Minneapolis, and I go to Bismarck, North Dakota. That's where I'm from. And I go there. See, I'm just going to go there, and I'm just going to work for a company. I learned to hang wall covering with this company. I learned a lot that helped me start my own. So I'm working for this company for about a year. God's speaking to me. See, I was supposed to stay in Bible college. I hadn't finished yet. So God says, I'm working for this company, and it's a Christian company. It goes to the same church I do. And I thought, well, you know, I'll do this. I'll learn. I'm making good money. So I'm going to church, and I told Candy, I said, the church is one block away from me where I lived. Evangel Temple, that's where I got married. That's where, when I got saved, I started bringing all my friends there. So I go to church that night, and the missionary's speaking. And I never heard a word he said. The Holy Spirit spoke to me the whole time. I cried like a baby. And the Lord said, Adi, I want you to go back and finish your last year of school. I said, Lord, I'll make a deal with you. See these deals. I don't know why I'm always making deals with God. And I said, if you'll take care of me there and I don't have to live from whatever, scratching to make it, I'll go. And God said, that's a deal. I went to the campus. I got the best trailer on campus. I walked to my old job, and I'm walking down. Now, I used to butcher for a living, and that was my job. So they had a butcher shop there, meat counter and the whole thing, and I used to work there. And I said, Lord, I wonder if I can get my old job back. I walked down there. There was a man from Bible college just praying that morning that God would send somebody to take his place because he didn't like it. I walked in there, and I started talking to this guy. And I said, yeah, I used to work here. And he goes, really? He said, you want a job? I said, yeah, I do. He said, I'm serious. I'm done after today. You can have it. I went and talked to my boss. He said, sure, go ahead. So I got my job. And so God worked everything out, and everything fell together. Where am I at on that? I can keep going on, but I don't want to go on. I'm telling you, when you get off the path, God has a way of getting you back on it. Isn't that awesome? And God doesn't get mad. He doesn't get frustrated and say, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's not God. He's just patient with us. And when we start listening, he says, this is what I want you to do. So when I graduated from school, I took a little German church in North Dakota, and I pastored for 18 months. See, if I was going to go to the mission field, I had to have 2 years before I could go to the mission field. God says, I don't want you going to India. See, I want to go to India, and I want to be a missionary. Was it wrong? No, that wasn't God's plan and purpose. He said, no, you're not going there. So I left the church after 18 months, and I went back down. I went to Louisville, Kentucky. I went down there, and I started a church down there. And did God want me there? I don't know. That was the worst time of my life. You know what? Have you ever been in one of those places where it's the worst time of your life, and you're going, I need a breath of fresh air. I learned some things. I worked at Evangel Temple, which was one of the, they were running 5,000. I was a worship leader, and I was helping in the youth department and associate. And I learned there. I learned a lot of things. And I left there, and I went to Colorado, and I started a church there. Fizzled. Didn't do anything. So I helped somebody for 6 years in another church. I said, well, I'll help him and support him. And I worked with my friend Randy Ilsing, who passed away a little bit ago. And I worked with him. I learned a lot. 7 years. And when I got done there, God says, now. It's time. The thing that you feared the most, he said, it's over. And that's when I came here. Now, when you think 19 times, you think that you would figure it out. Yes, you figure it out. Sometimes you got to go the hard way. But God will get you screaming and pulling you on the right path and say, this is the way. Go ye, walk in it. Listen to my voice. Let me close with this. We need to have clarity in our minds, people. And we are able to make the right decision every time if we have clarity. With each new day and every moment that passes, we should be getting closer and closer to fulfilling our purpose by moving in the direction that God has ordained for our lives. Every day, we should be moving closer. We should be listening more. We can be hearing Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know what I've learned through all these years? Listen to my wife. She's right. Am I going to get in trouble on this? But I did learn, honey, what do you want to do? What do you feel we should do? And most of the time, she's right. She does. She's right. Now, there's some things I'll say, well, logically, let me think about that one. But eventually, we move in the right direction. Learning to listen to the Spirit and hear His voice, especially in the days we're living in, people. Listen to His voice. Lord, what direction you want me to go? There might be something that you feel you need to do, but God says, wait, or go, or stay, or trust in me. See what I'm saying? And so when we do that, we have less heartache in our life. Less heartache. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want? Sometimes it's the hardest thing is to surrender that to God. When you go through tough time in your life, you go through like you've been through literal hell. And you don't sometimes just want to just run and quit. You got to listen to the Lord and say, what do you want me to do? I may not like it. I may not understand it. But when you get to the other side, it's all glory. Amen? Hang in there, people. Hang in there. God's not finished yet. God's not done. Let's pray. Let's pray. Keith, you have a song that we can close with? See, I hardly even coughed today and nothing's changed. Thanks for praying, Tabitha. I can see your lips going, pray for him right now. Lord, get him saved. But let's just worship the Lord with this song, and people, allow the Spirit of God to speak to us. Maybe you're in a position, you're saying, Lord, I need to get back on track. Especially with you or whatever. Get on track with Him. Amen.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all. Say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. There's nothing else can take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. Lord, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever. need. You're all I want, Lord. Sing it. You're all I want, Jesus. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are me. Me close to you.
Let this be our prayer, people. Let's just worship the Lord.
Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend, you're my desire. You are my desire. No one else will do. There's nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. Lord, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want, Jesus. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are near.
Father, this morning we thank you so much that, Lord, you're a God that cares. You're a God that's compassionate. You're a Father that's full of mercy and grace. Lord, even when we don't deserve it, you still love us. Lord, even sometimes when we stray or we get off course, you still love us and you put us back on course. Father, help us to listen to your voice in a world that is so much chaos. So many things happening, Lord. So much hate. Help us to listen to your voice that says, go this way. Don't go that way. Holy Spirit, keep us on the paths of righteousness. If we're not there, bring us on the path of righteousness. But Father, we thank you and we depend upon your Spirit to lead and guide us every day. Lord, when it comes to leaning on our own understanding, and sometimes we don't know what to do, help us to lean on your understanding. Help us to listen, Lord. Help us to say no. Help us to say yes. Help us to be obedient. But most of all, Lord, your greatest purpose for our lives is to worship you. Is to worship you and to love you and to seek your face. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for each and every person today. I bless them. I speak over them blessings and greatness and success and prosperity to be used of you. Father, I pray for doors to open that you want open, closed doors that should be closed. I pray, Father, that you will lead and guide us and direct us. Father, thank you. And Lord, today as we fellowship together, as we eat a meal together, we actually break bread together. We ask you to bless this food, bless this time together, that we can just love on each other, encourage each other. So, Father, today we are blessed and we just bless you. Help us when we leave this place to sense your presence. Be with us, be in our homes, be with our children, our grandchildren. Make our houses a safe haven of rest and nourishment in the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Give the Lord praise.